guys. Welcome to Black Spin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome back to another great episode. Eugene, how are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. Happy Easter as well, everyone.
Oh, yeah. Happy Easter, man.
Currently Easter Sunday as we record this.
Yeah.
But yeah, just grateful for the break. And yeah, just basically, yeah, catching up on much needed rest. What about you?
Mm-hmm. I am doing the complete opposite. since Thursday, I've been working on the release of my cookbook.
Congratulations. So, looks amazing.
Thank you. So next week, Friday, 9th of April, it should be out. So guys, 9th of April, if you're looking for some nice, healthy, fun meals.
Damn, is it the 9th? I put the 12th for some reason. What an idiot.
It's fine. It's all right.
I better change that. I'm so sorry.
No, it's cool. So the 9th of April, I should be releasing my cookbook. It's literally just a thing where I just want to show people that healthy eating is not boring. You know, you don't eat just salad and tomatoes and one dry ass chicken breast and think it's all over. Like, some of you are probably going to be surprised going through these recipes thinking, is this actually healthy? And it's like, yeah. So yeah, looking forward to that. But yeah, I've just been busy doing that, you know, chilling and enjoying. It's been nice weather here in the UK, so you know.
Yeah, and that too, very grateful for the nice weather and things slowly opening back up as well as we like ease our way out of lockdown.
Listen, this time next week I'm gonna be prepping my gym bag, you know. I've literally booked 4 restaurants already.
Damn. So
that week of the 12th, I'm booking three restaurants. I'm in the streets.
That's hard. Love that. Much needed.
Yeah.
Much needed. Well, yeah, man, let's get into it. Let's start off with a quick news roundup. So, congratulations in order for Monsieur. Actually, how do you say sir in French? Is it Monsieur?
Monsieur
Guermonfils and Alina Slitalina, who are officially engaged. And on our like rundown notes, I basically said that people need to like mind their business on social media.
Nah, yo.
Just because some of the tweets like I was seeing, like comments after the announcement was made, because obviously Monfils, he shared it on his social first, and then Alina then did the same thing. But yeah, Gem's life now officially engaged. Like, so it's a good look. And if you have anything else to add,
he iced her out.
It's a big ring,
you know. Been nice ring. She had a nice watch, all bling, you know, like Nini says. But yeah, like guys, when Eugene sent that rundown, I literally laughed out loud. He literally put Monfils and Sabatina engaged. People need to mind their business. And I was just like, wow. But I definitely feel you on that. It was very, to me, it was like, I don't know. At the same time, I kind of understand where people are coming from, because they did announce their breakup, like literally like in February, right after.
Not to cut you, Lucy, yeah, but like, this is the thing with relationships. People break up and get back together. Like, it's not an uncommon thing.
That's exactly
thing.
What I was about to say. Like, yeah, but me, number one, the start, and number two, we don't really know what's going on behind closed doors. They probably posted that, and then very next day, they're like, lol. Like, it happens all the time. Like, this is why when I'm dating, I don't talk to my girls and tell them anything, because I'll be like, yeah, fuck that nigga. I'm not back with him anymore. And then the very next day, what am I doing? I'm back with him. So they're not the only people to ever do this. And it just reminds you how much, you know, social media has given us the power to just easily give our opinions. And like, maybe some people didn't realize how negative it was, but it might have us thinking like, guys, I understand, but come on, like, this is their happy moments. Like, it's not time to be, you know, do you get what
exactly,
I mean?
Like,
but
just let them live.
Yeah, but to me it's not even just that. To me, it's just like, you just never know what happened behind closed doors. They've probably been cool ever since. He was still liking her post when they broke up after that, so you know. And he was going through a very hard time, you know, like, they probably, I don't know, there's so many things could have happened, but they're happy now. It is what it is. There's probably more into it that we don't know, because apparently they've given a date already. I'm assuming
that, is it July or something?
I'm assuming that she's pregnant.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm assuming that she's pregnant. Yeah. Maybe that's why she wants to get married quick.
She was literally just playing in the semi. I think she got to the semi-finals.
I swear Sabalenka is thingy, is pregnant. Oh, as well.
Listen, you're coming with a lot of rumors right now, Lucy.
No. Sabalenka actually posted a thingy, an Instagram post. My guy's saying rumors. This is sound like TMZ.
I was going to say, like, what is this, TMZ or Blackstone Global? Like,
No. But I think she's actually pregnant, she is. Like, she posted her a picture of a thing, but anyways, well, it looked like it. Maybe it wasn't a thingy post, but but anyways, congrats to them. You know, it is what it is.
I think just look lastly, because I don't want to spend too much like talking about like negativity, but the point you made about social media, like that's something I really like dislike about the whole social media thing. Like,
yeah, you've always said that.
Just like this need or like urge people have to like just speak on things that like really have nothing to do with them, and like not even speak, but like speak negatively. Like, I get if you may not, I don't know, agree with, I don't know, a relationship.
100%. We all have our opinions. For whatever reason. Be respectful.
Yeah, like, but just, you don't need to like broadcast that, especially if it's negative. Like, keep that to yourself, pretty much. So, yeah, that's my like 2 cents.
I'm trying to get better at that. There's times where I know I flipped out a little bit, but you know, the first step is noticing it. I've definitely worked on a lot. I've improved on a lot, but I guess it's just a social media culture, unfortunately.
Exactly. But no, congrats to Girl and Alina. Many congratulations. Yeah. Gem's life officially a thing now.
I'm looking forward for more TikToks videos.
Can you imagine? They'll probably like broadcast the whole wedding on like Twitch or something, like just broadcast it live, because he like loves Twitch. Secondly, the other piece of news that I thought was quite significant this week was the Monte Carlo Masters basically announcing that they'll be looking to like give vaccinated players preferential treatment like during the tournament, which is due to start.
I love that.
Literally on Saturday, well, qualifying anyway, and then I think the official.
I love this song.
Main draw starts a week today, but I think more of that is to be expected. Like, as you know, the year goes on.
Yeah, everywhere.
I mean, I think as well, like, it's something that everyone should consider in terms of like the vaccination rollout, like globally. Mm-hmm. It's different mm-hmm. depending on like where you are in the world, so
yeah,
it's like I think it's gonna be quite difficult for like some players like that just simply wouldn't have been vaccinated yet. So is that going to hinder their kind of, I don't know, entry into certain events? Or it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
I feel like if they were able to get special treatment from Australia and everything's going on, I'm pretty sure they could still, you know, there's still a way to help them out or something. I think getting into those countries might be difficult, but in terms of like those who are, I think with the vaccination, it might be a little bit more political, because you have people who are not into getting vaccinated at all, which is fine, that's their own right.
Which is something I want to also touch on. Like, did you see a few players like coming out and saying, they're not particularly keen?
Yeah, that I don't really want to say his name on the pod, but I don't think I'm gonna say it, but you guys know who it is.
Say it.
Yeah, that Ben guy.
Ben Rothenberg. Yeah,
yes.
It was during the Miami Open, like,
so he did something really good. I don't like to guess him up too much, but anyways, he did something really good. He did like a thread of like players who basically were giving an opinion on getting vaccinated, and a lot of the players, I can't remember top of my head, but some of the players was basically giving their opinions and whatnot.
Diego Schwartzman was one, Sabalenka, quite a few like high profile players.
Is even like, you know, scarier, but you have bigger than them who are, you know, promoting. Apparently got a bit, you know, BJK, she's saying that she did a video, Halep did a video. Which other player? I think more recently there's another big player as well, but I can't remember the top of my head. I don't know. I feel like the special treatment thing is to be honest, is great. I think is another way as well to push more players to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
There's so many people, even us as normal people, there's so many people who were against this vaccination thing that now today they're like, bro, I want it so I can get the fuck out. Exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's so many people like that as well. So I can imagine with the players it will be the same.
Yeah.
But it's going to be very long and political, because one of the things about these players, they like to act like spoiler fucking brats. You know, they like to feel like the world like rolls around them. So be ready to get some long notes, paragraph, screenshots posted, and then whining about how it's unfair and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, fam, it is what it is. Yeah. Like the same way you have your right to not get vaccinated if you had a choice, it's the same way they have their right as well to go on with the rules. And this is how life's going to be like. Here in the UK, for example, they already started putting on plans and they're going to start trials soon with the passport vaccination thing, where basically in certain places you will have to have this app or basically showing that you've been vaccinated.
Yeah, the vaccination passport, yeah.
So, yeah, so what they're doing is not something like, this is something that's going to happen worldwide anyway. So sooner or later, these people are going to give up and get vaccinated anyway. So that's why I don't see the point. I don't see the point of now literally like fighting about it, because it's going to be a time where you want to travel, you want to go certain places, you want to enter certain countries, you won't be able to because you're not vaccinated. Yeah, and no, it is what it is.
100%. I completely agree.
So I understand that it suck, but literally it's either that or you stay home.
Yeah, it's not ideal, like you said, but it's like, this is the world we now live in, unfortunately. So it's just a thing we all have to just adapt to it and just, yeah, like get used to the idea of, you know, traveling with this, I say with a virus, hopefully the virus does disappear, but yeah, everyone being vaccinated, like that's something that we all kind of need to get our head around. So yeah. Next, I mean, it's a bit of a quick one, because obviously we've had the Miami Open now, which is now officially finished as we sit here watching Hubert Hurkacz winning the men's event. Nice. But I've really enjoyed this event. Like, I love when tournaments are combined like this, like Grand Slams, in terms of men and women both playing at the same time. I think it's just really good, like for the sport as well. Like, literally to have all the top players playing at the same time. We posted about James Blake being the tournament director and like just a fantastic job like he's done. But yeah, what have your views been of like the Miami Open? Like, because I've really enjoyed it. I know there was a few hiccups with the Hawkeye Live because there's no line judges. So there were like some issues.
Which I don't understand again. Yeah. I've shared my opinion on this last time, because the first couple tournaments in Dubai, for example, or wherever it was, there was some, but in Australian Open, there wasn't, yet there were fans everywhere. And the same thing with Miami Open, like, fuck those fans, man. Give me the line judges. Like, you get what I mean? Like, the way I see it is, if fans are allowed to come in, who fans that we don't even know if they're tested or not, then I really don't understand why line judges can't be there. Do you get what I mean? Like, reduce it. I don't know. I feel like they could have, I don't know, maybe it's easy for me to say because I'm just here and I don't know how it goes, but I'm pretty sure they could find a way to cut out some stuff for the line judges to be there. I generally now think that because of now with COVID, they are trying to really make the Hawkeye Live thing a thing full time, and they're taking advantage of it to test it out a little bit. But the issue that I feel like us tennis fans have is that we love staying traditional, and it's like, yeah, it just needs to stay. But it's not even just about tradition. The thing is shit. Do you get what I mean? Like, it's just
not the most reliable. Yeah.
At all, do you get what I mean? Like, it's just, yeah, I don't like it. But the tournament overall, I think it went well. You know, you guys knew how I felt, you know, about the ghetto and
Miami
and everything in Miami. But it went really well. Afterwards, I kind of like, ugh, because all of my favorite players were like kind of like gone.
Yeah, let's get into that. So, again, shouts out to Blake for like the wild cards that he gave out. So he, which we spoke about on the previous episode. So Robin Montgomery, Hayley Baptiste, they were, for me anyway, the most impressive wild card performers. So they both lost in the first round, but they both took their opponents to three sets. So I thought it was a good showing on their part. Venus Williams, she also lost in the first round. to Zara Diaz, but I thought she played really well, Venus, considering that she hadn't played since Australia and that like horrific injury. I thought she looked quite good. The injury seems to be fully recovered, basically, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's really true.
Sloane Stephens, she won her first match of the year. Whoop, whoop. And again, that was a good win for her because she came back from a set down to win that. She did lose in the second round to Amanda Anisimova, who's a top player. So that wasn't like a huge like shock,
but I
thought that was a good look for Sloane to pick up that win, and like hopefully that definitely gives her some confidence.
Giving her the confidence, exactly.
And then Osaka, Naomi Osaka, she continued that insane unbeaten run like that she started back in August in New York. So she won two rounds, got a walkover in the fourth round, and then she lost in the quarters to Maria Sakkari, who's like just playing incredible tennis this year.
Overall this year she is.
I wasn't that surprised like by the defeat, like, and if anything, all the omens were kind of like, I don't know, I hate to kind of get like superstitious, but Sakkari was the 23rd seed. And
I know.
This was literally, was this the 23rd, or it was the 23rd?
Her 23rd, the 23rd winning streak.
Yeah.
And see, the thing is that I knew it was going to happen because there was so much talk about her 23rd winning streak, and then now there was this talk about people. This Miami Open has actually made me realize that now people are seeing Naomi as a threat, because now you're seeing more hate comments. And now you're seeing more of these girls playing their best now when they play against Naomi.
Similar story to Serena. I know people hate the comparison. Exactly. But like,
no, but that's basically what I didn't want to tweet it, but that's exactly how I felt. Mm-hmm. I was like, here we go again. This is the same shit that we're going through, that we've been going through for years. But because that match, I'm going to be very honest, I love Sakkari.
Yeah.
I feel like she's a great player. I've grown to like her, especially since last year, to be fair. So I knew that match was going to be tough, but I really feel like she lost that match because Naomi was not there.
Yeah, completely.
It's like
100%.
She was not. When I watched the match, I was like, what is going? Like, it's like mentally she clocked out. Yeah. Do you get what I mean? And I feel like Sakkari has played better, but I think because I don't know, maybe people have not been watching her match as much as I have or something and whatnot, hence why she probably even lost this next round. You get what I mean? I'm not saying she didn't deserve it, that like, she did play some tricky stuff definitely, but I've seen her play better than that. It was a thing where Naomi she's played way better than that, and Naomi was just not there, especially that first set was horrible to watch.
To lose to Love, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I do think, not that you're not giving Sakkari credit, but like, I thought she played exceptionally well in that first set. Like, that she played nearly a flawless set. And like, it rocked. It definitely rocked Osaka. So, but at the same time, Osaka wasn't her normal self for whatever reason.
At all.
Like, so, all. And that's why for me, it wasn't like a huge, like, I wasn't worried or like panicked afterwards. Because I was like, you know what, this happens. Like, players aren't going to be on it, literally, day in, day out, like, you're gonna have an off day, like, sometimes.
And plus, I was tired of people talking to me. People were just this Miami Open, people were chatting. I need outside to be open.
I would have loved to have seen though, Osaka and Andreescu. That would have been incredible. Like,
I feel like I'm the only person that actually did not care about it.
I did see your tweet and I was like, Lucy, jeez.
I was like, what am I missing? Everyone, and people explained to me because of Bianca's game and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, cool. If you said this to me about a year or two ago, I can understand.
Because they played each other in 2019. Do you remember? Like the end of year, I think it was the end of year, like championships. Osaka won. But
someone even told me to even watch that match. Yeah, like, watch that match.
It was
and
a
think.
Very like, high quality match. Osaka won.
I watched only half of it, or I missed it. I can't remember, but I get it. But unfortunately, where has Bianca been for me to be excited about watching her play? I'm so sorry. Like, I definitely understand that, you know, she was great before, blah, 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 and she was playing well. But yo, my girl has been injured for a lot of days. So unfortunately, I'm not getting that same excitement as before.
Yeah. No, it's a great segue, because obviously Andreescu played Barty in the final. Barty won, but it was a withdrawal or retirement from Andreescu. So she lost the first set, 6-4, 6-3. Was four love down in the second and then retired injured.
Barty was on fire.
Yeah.
Barty was she was playing like rent was due. Every single match during this Miami Open.
I loved your tweet as well. Again, not I don't want to like focus on like negativity, but like, yeah, your tweet in response. I think it was Tim Tebbott, the Canadian journalist, basically saying that, like, yeah, Andreescu's like de facto top three in the world. And I was like, this
in
hype
tennis,
this hype train, like, is just so, it's, some, it's
I
something
was like,
else.
So I literally said, sorry Tim, are you actually watching the same tennis as we are? Because I don't think so. There's probably another tennis that you are watching that I am not aware of, because I'm so sorry. Like, this like, the way people were gassing Bianca, I was like, where is this crack that everyone is smoking? Because clearly I'm missing out, because I am not seeing, why is everyone hyping this girl? Like, it's very, I'm happy that she's made it that far. Yeah. That's so impressive, from the injuries and whatnot. And, you know, she made it all the way to the finals, and she didn't lose to a small player. She lose to a number one player. Do you get
exactly,
what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, like, I don't know. I was really surprised by everyone. Just, I'm like, bro, like, this girl has not played in months. She's been injured like crazy. And you're telling me that, yeah, she's a... I'm not saying because she's injured, I can't put her on the top. But you know what? If it's a thing where she has done a lot before her injuries, let's say she bagged a couple slams, she beat top players like crazy, then, yeah, I can understand. Cool. Yeah, she's a top. She's good. For example, Andy has been injured since, but he's still one of my tops. You get what I mean? Yeah. But that's because
he has the numbers
are there. Do you get what I mean? The history is there. Bianca, though, I'm so sorry, I've not seen enough for me to be like, yeah, like, yeah, she's top this, top that. But, you know, again, I don't want people to think that I'm underestimating her skills and feel like she's a shit player. She isn't. I just don't understand the hype. I feel like people are just hyping up because they're just hyping up. But, you know, it's tennis. It is what it is. What I am scared of, though, is that one thing that I loved about Bianca is her confidence.
Yeah.
She was very out there. She was very, unapologetic. Like, she was very, like, it's a bit of, like, what we had from Serena and Venus when they were younger. Do you get what I mean? And I'm really hoping that these injuries don't affect that bit and put her down, because you need that. And I feel like, especially in WTA, like, they like to act, you know, all humble and everything, but you need to be tough.
Yeah.
And that is how these girls are going to be scared of you, and they won't know how to act when you're on that court.
I'm just hoping she
keeps up with that.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I do think she kind of has that, like, that is one of her weapons, like, that kind of it factor that she kind of has, and that self-belief. Because she played Muguruza in Miami, and like, I wasn't expecting her to win that. I thought Muguruza would beat her.
I didn't expect her to win that,
but
either.
I think credit to Andreescu, the way she like played her way through that, and like, I think, like you said, it's that confidence that she has, like, in her own ability, like,
100%
does get her through a lot of these like tough matches.
Yep.
So no, shouts out to her, but I completely agree. I do think the hype is a bit much. Like, she's 20 years old, like, so she's still very young, and like, she's won a Grand Slam. She's won the one Grand Slam. Like, she's still got a long way to go. Like,
she's still got a long way to go.
So let's just, like, calm it down a bit.
Yeah,
and just
bro.
Appreciate, like, what we're seeing.
Bro.
And, like, again, like, I think there's...
They don't even hype up Osaka like this. And she's got, like...
This is what I'm saying. Osaka's like, what is she on? Understand. Is it four, five? Like...
We don't even remember. We don't even remember.
It's just growing and growing and growing.
It's just growing back to back. She's winning every year. She's been winning Grand Slams since 2018. But you guys are hyping Andreescu that's just here.
But shouts out to Barty too. Obviously winning, like, back, she defended her title. So, because obviously it didn't happen last year.
Yeah, so
she's the defending champion.
Yeah, shout out to her because she hasn't played that much and she just came back and boom.
Yeah, so no, it was a good look.
What do you think of Barty?
I like Barty. I think she's a very good player. Again, like, she's, I wouldn't say she's exciting to watch, but at the same time, like, because she's so likable, like, you want her to do well, if that makes sense. And I do find myself when I'm watching her, like, I'm like, yeah, you can see there's like an undoubted talent that she has. Like, it's like an easy good. Kind of talent that she has.
That's the thing, exactly.
She's definitely fun to watch. But yeah, just a likable person, and like very happy for her, like, being the world number one. She's a really good, like, kind of representative of, like, the women's game. So definitely shouts out, and she's indigenous. So we shout that out all day. On the men's side now. So again, we heavily invested, like, in, like, the achievements, not achievements, but the progress of, like, Francis Tiafoe, Félix Auger-Aliassime, Mikel Yimmer and Michael Moe. So if we start with Michael Moe, he lost in the first round. He was a wild card. He lost in the first round to Lorenzo Musetti in straight sets. And that was, it wasn't a great match on, like, Moe's part. I was expecting a bit more, to be fair.
Yeah, I agree.
To be fair, Musetti's in pretty good form. Like, he's coming from Acapulco, where he got some big wins. So yeah, shouts out to Moe. A player who I was really, like, impressed with, though, was Mikel Yimmer. So he got to...
I couldn't believe it.
He got to the last... Well, he got to the third round. And he played... I forgot who played in the first. I think he played a Colombian qualifier in the first round, won that pretty comfortably, and then played Nicolas Bacilashvili in the second round. He was seeded, and he beat Bacilashvili in three sets. And that was a really good match. Like, I was really impressed with Yimmer. Like, I thought this is a really good level of tennis he's playing right now. And then he lost to Emil Ruusuvuori in the third round. And again, that match, he won the first set. And I thought, wow, like, the level from both of them is just insane. Like, they're both playing so well. Because Ruusuvuori, he was coming off the... I think he'd beaten Alexander Zverev in the previous round.
He was
high on confidence. And obviously, Yimmer beating... Bacilashvili. So yeah, that match was, it went to three sets. Yimmer was, I want to say he was 5-1 down in the third, came back, leveled up at 5-5. And then Ruusuvuori then won, he won it 7-5. But again, I was thoroughly impressed with Yimmer, and like, I really felt it for him, like, after, because I thought if only he could have, like, won that.
But he made some huge progress.
No, he did. Yeah, 100%, 100%. Félix, my pick for the tournament before. Do you remember he was my pick?
Yours and Jordan's pick. So he, Jordan.
Well, he was Jordan's second pick. She had Med, like you.
Oh, she had, like, me. Yeah, yeah, but she always picked first.
Shout out to Jordan. But yeah, Félix, he ended up losing in the third round. So he got a bye into the second. He beat the French guy, Pierre-Hugues Herbert.
Yeah, Herbert.
Straight sets in the second round. Easy win for Félix. And then the third round, it was Isner, John Isner. would you call him?
Magal. I remember I even nearly got in trouble because I tweeted. I was like, oh, what Isner did feels very racist to me. And people actually thought that he did something racist. And I was just like, no, guys, I'm just being exaggerated. He's just, this is Felix lost. But yeah, it's like,
Did you watch any of the match?
I don't think so. Or did I watch it? I think I was at work or something.
It was just a serving exhibition. So, like, it's just who could break serve, and no one broke. So it was two tiebreak sets, I really, it was not frustrating, but I just thought to myself, oh, if Félix can just get one break, like, that's it. He's won the match, because that's for me, that's all it would have took. But again, credit to Isner, because he served pretty well, like, throughout that match.
We're not giving credit to
that guy. He served pretty well, like, throughout that match, and obviously ultimately ended up winning. Yeah, but I thought it was an opportunity kind of missed for Felix, just because obviously, like we said before, like the big three not being there, and like it was wide open basically. So I'm sure you probably would have been disappointed with that. But yeah, for me, the story of the tournament, Francis Tiafoe, like insane run to the last 16. And like literally every single one of his matches, apart from the Medvedev match, it was three sets. So he literally lost the first set and come back to win. And
I feel like he does do a lot of free sets in general.
He loves his free sets. But again, that's credit to like his fitness, and like now what a lot of people are giving him credit for is like his desire to win. Like, because people were saying, oh, like, yeah, now it looks like he's, well, not people, commentators and like, you know, people in tennis. I say people in tennis, people like in the know, so supposedly anyway. Mm-hmm. We're just saying that, yeah, it kind of looks like he's turned a corner in that. It looks like he's much more about winning and not just performing. And I hear that, like, especially in Miami, like this week, he kind of, well, last week now, he really did show that desire that I've not really seen before.
Even against that Med match, like he played really well.
He did.
Really
it was
well.
A much better level than like the US Open defeat, obviously. Like,
yeah, 100%, yeah.
Like the match that stood out for me though was the Dan Evans, I think it was the second round.
Yeah, no, that Dan Evans one was a big match. Still, that's because yeah, I don't. I think I already shared as well.
Evans is an irritant, like, but Felix Francis just really just stuck to it and like ground him out and played his game. Ended up winning through, and I thought, yeah, this is the corner we're turning here. Like, this is really great to see.
Yeah.
So yeah, shouts out to Francis, and it was wicked seeing his like dad in the crowd as well.
A lot of them had their families over this time. Yeah. Even Naomi had
I think both her parents were in the crowd.
Yeah, both her parents were there. Yeah. A lot of people had their friends and families around these times.
Which was nice to see. So and then the men's event now, literally it's just finished. So Hubert Hurkacz, he just beat Jannik Sinner in the final, straight sets. So shouts out to Hurkacz because he is Felix's doubles partner. They both won Paris last year. What were your views in general, like with the big three not being there? Like I enjoyed it. I'm not going to lie to you. Like I didn't miss them basically.
To be honest, I like this because it is, like I said, these people are getting old. They're going. So we need to stop thinking about them so much.
Yeah.
This is what I love about COVID is that with tennis is that it's giving us a time to start to get used to, like, at least giving us an idea of like, okay, how are things going without these big threes? And it's like, it's going well. One thing that is showing me, however, is that the WTA is carrying this shit over. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like WTA now is just like, I've always felt that way, to be fair, for a while, that, you know, I feel like it's more competitive, we're seeing in a way a bit more consistency than the men's, to be fair.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
You might get different winners, but the way that it's going is literally kind of like, you know, the same. Like, look at Muguruza, do you get what I mean? She gets to like towards the end. Sabalenka has been very consistent, Sakkari as well, the same thing. So I like it. Again, I've always been like, we need to focus on the next gen anyways. And I think also it just depends on the tournament. So for example, Wimbledon, I don't want to see none of y'all. I want to see Federer, I want to see Serena, I want to see
the big guns,
do you get what I mean? But it really just depends on the tournaments as well and all that. But it's just great because, again, gives opportunities for the next gen. They hungrier than ever because they know themselves, like, oh, big threes are not here. Yeah, cool. I just want them to keep the same energy when the big threes are here. That's it. Do you get what I mean? Like, let's not just focus on them not being there. Let's focus also on when they are not there.
Yeah. No, I hear that 100%.
So, yeah.
One thing we didn't mention Coco Gauff. So we'll just mention she played Sevastova in the second round. And that was tough to watch because the match was on Coco's racket.
Stop putting them two together.
I know. They it seems like they're always playing. I know. But that match was on Coco's racket. Like, and again, Miami is like her home. That's like her home. Is it county?
I think the whole
state?
Family was there.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so her mum was there, her brothers, which was great to see.
You know us niggas, you know, we bring the family, we bring everybody, we bring the neighbours,
it was great to see. But I did think the pressure of that kind of did not get to her, but like, I don't know, maybe it played into it.
Maybe. But again, it's like, you know, they always play against each other. She's way more experienced, like, fam, that's her auntie. For sure. I feel like Coco's draws have been a bit, but at the same time, I say this every single time, this girl is young. I am not worried. That is what it is. Like,
just turned
17. At her age, she is playing players like her, like Sarasova and stuff.
Yeah,
mate, she's going far. Do you get what I mean? Like, there are girls who are her age who are playing, who are not playing someone near their level. And those type of things will help her. You know, and Serena is Serena because of Venus. She had to play someone who's tough just like her, and her sister's the nearest to her. Without her sister, you know, it wouldn't be like this. So it's the same with Coco. She should take the advantage of her playing against these big players, these more experienced players. So then in a couple years, she is going to be killing it.
100%.
I'm never worried about her, honestly.
I think a big thing for her as well, the fact she was seeded at a 1,000 event, like, so, and she's 17. Like, it's crazy. So she's literally doing all the right things. And again, there's no reason to be like worried about, yeah, a loss to Sevastova. Like, she's a top player. Mm-hmm. So
exactly.
Yeah, like, I've really enjoyed Miami. I'm going to miss it. So yeah, I can't wait for next year now already. Cannot wait. Wrapping up now. So upcoming events. Where we're concerned, there's not much happening on the ATP side, like with men. So there are, I want to say there are two events taking place. I think there's one in Spain and one in Italy. But yeah, no one's playing from a black spin global perspective. But on the women's side, Charleston's going down, so the Volvo Car Open, which is a pretty big event. So like, it's a clay court event in Charleston.
It's officially clay season,
indeed,
baby.
Yeah. As we gear up to the
my
French
favorite surface.
The French Open. So yeah, Charleston. It's a 64 player draw.
Wait. I wonder if French Open is actually going to happen.
Don't. I know, it's because, to be fair, France is probably the worst country in terms of like COVID cases at the moment.
Right, no, the cases are insane. They're currently on a lockdown and curfew for like a month.
Jeez.
I don't know how it's going to go. And with the way things
the French
look
is due
like
to start
in September.
End of May though, isn't it?
End of May, that's not, but it all depends. I don't think things are going to, because they're not moving quick with the vaccinations in France. Okay. So, and the people, they're not respecting the rules because they had enough. Yeah. I understand how they feel. Their government has not put any sort of planning. Like, everyone just do it, just vibes. Literally, they're just doing just vibes right now. So,
well, they might like mess around and yeah, move it to like September again. No, I'm joking.
But that's the thing. No, but that's the thing. The issue, if they do that, I feel like they're gonna have less players than before.
No, they can't. They can't do that. Just because, yeah,
calendars. Because the condition last time, bro.
Oh, shocking.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. I'd be surprised if a lot of players are going, but yeah, we'll see. Anyway, it's whole tight French lot.
But yeah, Charleston. So it's a 64 player draw, which is absolutely stacked. So Ash Barty, she's the top seed. Sophia Kenin is the second seed. Madison Keys, she's seeded eighth. So all the seeds, they get first round byes. So Coco Gauff, I think this, the top eight seeds, they get first round byes. Coco Gauff, she's seeded 14th. And she starts against sets. Can you say that name?
Pironkova.
That's that first name, though. Is it Svetlana?
You're on your own.
Yeah, Peron cover, which is going to be interesting. I'm expecting Coco to win that. I'm gonna say probably three sets. Mm-hmm. Song Clay, nice three set grinder. Mm-hmm. Sloane, she starts against a qualifier. So yeah, again, that should be Sloane plays quite well on the clay as well. So I'm expecting her to really turn it on. True. And Hayley Baptiste, she's also in the main draw.
She's won actually Volvo before.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say she got to, I think
2016.
Yeah, and it was a quarter final she got to last, or 2019, because Madison Keys won in 2019.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she's the defending champion. So yeah, Hayley Baptiste, she plays Camilla Giorgi, the Italian, in round one. In round one.
Please beat this girl.
Not a fan of Giorgi. I mean, not a fan of Giorgi.
She's bad vibes, man. Like she's just bad vibes. Like, no, you know, someone's just there and they're just bad vibes.
I'll never forget.
That's just her.
It was, I think it was Wimbledon 2017.
I have the video.
Was it again?
Wait, what thingy?
I think it was Wimbledon. She played Serena and like it was the saltiest handshake.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think it was even more recent.
Yeah, it might have been 18, 19. Yeah.
And that same one, they even did like a conference and they must have asked her, like, oh, like, I think it was also about tennis players or something. She was like, I don't watch tennis. I was like, shut up, man. Like, get out, bro.
Don't. Listen, no negativity. No negativity. Like, we're trying to stay.
Anyway, Baptiste, please take this girl out. Like, we want good vibes.
Indeed.
Exactly. No negativity. We want positivity.
Indeed.
Giving us positive vibes. And yeah, but my girl's coming in hella angry, bro.
No, good luck to Baptiste. But yeah, hopefully you get that W. And in qualifying, interesting. So Whitney Osigwe and Asia Mohammed, they both won their first round in qualifying. And then
they're actually playing each other.
They're literally
right
playing
now.
Exactly. Yeah. So as we.
And so far, Mohammed's actually winning. First set 6-2. And right now it's 3-1.
So it looks like Mohammed's going to win that then.
Yeah.
Which is a good look for her. And she's mm-hmm. playing pretty well this year. Already a doubles champion.
Yeah, she is.
With Dalahide.
I really want her to take over more of her singles as well, because doubles she does really well, but you never know, maybe that's just her bag, you know.
This is the thing, I don't think it hurts though playing doubles, and that's something I love again about mm-hmm. Coco. Like, she plays, she's a incredibly talented doubles player as well, and that obviously mm-hmm. helps her singles game, so mm-hmm. more players definitely need to do that. So yeah, that's Charleston, and then there's another event in Colombia, Bogota, Narcos town. So it's the Copa Corsantina. I don't know how you say that, but yeah, basically Bogota. So Zhong Sai Sai, she's the top seed, Chinese. I think she's the Chinese number one. She's the top seed, and Sarah Suribes Tormo, she's the second seed, and she's like in fine form as well. Suribes Tormo. But in that draw, we've got Jasmine Paolini. She starts against Christy Ahn in the first round. And Sasha Vickery, she plays Maria Osorio Sereno in the first round. So good luck to Jasmine and Sasha in Colombia. And yeah, Lucy, that pretty much rounds up this pod. Like,
when is the Madrid Open?
But I want to say April. I want to say mid to late April. And that would be a combined event. So, yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, shit. This is like end of April.
Is it end?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and Djokovic's actually not playing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They announced it 2 days ago. Apparently, he's not playing.
Interesting.
I know Serena's not playing, which is, of course, not.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Has she confirmed that then?
I think they've released, I remember seeing a list of the players saying I was going to play, and apparently Serena's name didn't thingy, but
interesting.
It's not like, I really don't see Serena play, especially, I feel like, especially after her husband spoke out, there's absolutely no way I'm seeing Serena going there, to be honest. And to be honest, it's bloody Madrid Open. Nobody care about that.
I mean, it's a Masters event.
It's a big event. But I'm talking about for Serena Williams.
Okay, yeah. We're trying to get to 24.
She's not a player, then yeah, exactly. We are focusing on Grand Slams, baby. I like her playing more matches, anyways. But Serena playing more matches doesn't go together. That's how she rolls.
I wonder when the next event then will be for her. Interesting.
Do you know what? I wanted to skip clay.
Really, just focus on the grass.
Grass.
She might do that, you know.
I wanted to skip clay.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, yeah.
Especially that for the moment, we don't know how things are going on with Thing.
I mean,
I think she might go to Italy.
Rome, exactly. She loves Rome.
She might go Rome. Yeah. She loves Rome. Especially that now there's more of like a personal thing with Italy, because that's where she met her husband and they got proposed, blah, blah, blah.
So she'll probably literally just play Rome and then head to Roland Garros, which would be crazy.
We'll see. But in my ideal world, skip all of that and just bang out practice, matches.
For the grass.
And then focus on grass. But I don't know. Would you say practicing on clay helps with grass?
Definitely not. There's two different surfaces.
That's what I'm saying. So they're two different. Exactly. So it's like, I feel like even hard court is even closer to grass.
But in terms of like just match practice, obviously it's just good to play matches. Like
But
no, interesting. We definitely will. But yeah, man, appreciate you guys for listening in. I must say I love the debate that like we kind of started with this whole 3-set, 5-set thing on social.
Yeah,
like,
on social.
A lot of the comments have been really, really like, yeah, just great to read. So keep them coming. Just appreciate all the like the engagement on social, both Insta and Twitter. So yeah. Until next time, guys, thanks for listening and take care.